reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. But do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries. They lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at synagogues, seats of honor at banquets, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi, for you have but one teacher. You are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven. Don't be called master, for you have but one master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On Ash Wednesday, Jesus, as he called us to repent, believe in the good news, gave us clear instructions in the gospel about the way we were to pray, fast, and give alms, that we were to do it not for others to see it, but we were to do them in such a way that our Father who sees in secret will be grateful and will reward us. Lent is not about just exterior actions that start to conform exteriorly to what the Lord wants, but it's a total inner rehabilitation so that inwardly we correspond to God, so that our actions flow naturally from that good tree. That's what Lent is about. It's not about seats of honor. It's not about everybody noticing what we do. It's precisely about being who the Lord wants us to be, so that the doing, as the Lord does, naturally flows. We need the humility to be able to allow the Lord to work this total change in us. This change is very well described by Isaiah in the first reading. Sometimes when we hear this passage, we can be immediately turned off by the vocatives, by the methods of address that the Lord uses through Isaiah. But it, in fact, is one of the greatest signs of God's love, no matter what we've done, that he could ever use. When we hear God addressing us today, like Isaiah addressed the people of yesteryear, with the expressions, "Princes of Sodom, people of Gomorrah," we can begin to say, we're not that bad, are we? But what Isaiah was doing here is, even if we were princes of Sodom or people of Gomorrah, even if we had sinned as badly as they sinned, there's still hope for us. He's addressing a message of mercy even to the worst sinners imaginable. What's that message? Wash yourself clean, as a great allusion, obviously, to baptism. Put away your misdeeds before my eyes. You've got a choice even still. Cease doing evil, learn to do good. Lent is a season in which not only do we seek with God's help to stop doing evil deeds, but it's a classroom in which the Lord teaches us how to do good. And he starts with some very concrete works of mercy. Redress the wrong, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow, look out for the little person, begin to do penance precisely by acting with justice, making that our aim and goal, helping to orient our actions to God's righteousness and helping others to do it. Come now, he says, let us set things right. That's what Lent is. But then he points to that interior transformation, something that Martin Luther got totally wrong. Martin Luther, when he looked at the forgiveness of sins, used a pretty graphic image. He said, our sins are like dung, and God's mercy is like a beautiful snowstorm that comes down and covers the dung. Still dung there, but it's now covered and looks nice and pretty because it's covered with beautiful snow. That's not what God wants to do, though. God wants to do something even greater. God wants to totally transform the dung. Listen to what the Lord says. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. He doesn't say that even though they be scarlet, they'll be covered and look white. The mercy that he extends to us in Lent is to actually change them so that they become white. This is what the book of Revelation points to when the book of Revelation says that the garments of those who are saved, the 144,000, that symbolic number, will be washed totally clean and made incredibly white by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus wants to bring about this, not just change of appearances, but total transformation within, so that even our sins, however bad they be, might be means of our salvation by bringing us to receive the Lord's mercy, so that he might transform those self-inflicted wounds into glory. We focused on Sunday about the transfiguration of the Lord, and we noted that not only did Jesus' face shine like the sun, not, as I mentioned, the moon, which reflects some other light, but the sun, the source of its own light, and that sun from within totally made Jesus' garments white, whiter than all the bleach in the world could make them. That is the power of Jesus, that he can totally transform those garments and make them utterly radiant, no matter what color they were before. And if that's what the Lord can do with our clothes, imagine what he can do with our souls. That's the way our sins, however scarlet, however crimson, can be made utterly white by the power of the Lord within. We have to be humble enough to allow the Lord to do that. But we have to admit what Lent is. The whole purpose of Lent is to make you and me a great saint. Not just to make us a little better, to make us a great saint, by allowing the Lord from within to transform us in that way, to give him permission to say, Lord, I know that you don't want to just change me a little. I give you the permission to change me completely. Where all of that starts, it's in the sacrament of baptism. Wash yourself clean. But the way it continues over time is in the second baptism, what the early saints called it, the sacrament of confession, by which the Lord continues that interior renewal. And then, having been washed clean, it's brought to its conclusion by the communion we have with the Lord. When we receive that same Lord who is transfigured in glory on Mount Tabor and transfigured in humility here, so that we, humble enough to receive him, may be exalted by allowing him to carry out that total transformation within. Even if our lives have been like scarlet, even if they've just been a frail form of pink, the Lord wants to make us as white as the garment of our baptism, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And as we receive him today, that's what he wants to do. And when we say amen, that's supposed to mean, go for it, Jesus. I give you total permission. Make me white as you are.